In a few minutes, what financial professionals think about campaign donations by corporations. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. The European Central Bank has a key decision on the way that could shape financial markets today. Let's go right to BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, we'll see in less than an hour here, but the thinking is no change in interest rates this time around?
No change in interest rates and no launch of a full-on quantitative easing program. Bear in mind the ECB's interest rates are already extremely low. And in fact, in relation to the deposit rate, which is the interest rate that it gives banks who deposit money overnight with it, it's actually below zero. It's charging them to look after their money. On quantitative easing, the European Central Bank President Mario Draghi has made it reasonably clear that he's thinking in those terms, but I don't think anybody's expecting them to actually pull the trigger on that today.
Thinking in those terms, because to remind us, unlike officials at our Federal Reserve wondering when we have to raise interest rates, our friends at the ECB are worried about something quite different.
Two things. Economic growth. There was no economic growth in the Eurozone in the second quarter of this year. And then there is the specter of deflation, falling prices. The big concern there, I think, is about debt. When prices are falling, and if incomes are falling too, firms may have less money coming in, governments less tax revenue, but debts do not fall. And you can get into this situation where falling prices, falling wages aggravate debt problems, and Europe has got plenty of those already.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
The Bank of Japan today left its stimulus and interest rate policies alone. In the U.S., the Agriculture Department is out with a report that says food security has improved. Food security, as in having enough food all year long for everyone in a household. Now, that's an upbeat headline, but details in that report are concerning. Nova Safo reports.
When it comes to food security, things have improved since 2011. That was the worst year when nearly 18 million homes in America didn't always have enough to eat. But the improvement is modest, down to 17.5 million homes. That's despite the fact that the economy has improved, as has unemployment.
If that had been the only thing that had changed, we would likely have seen a modest decline in the prevalence of food insecurity.
Alicia Coleman Jensen is one of the authors of the USDA report.
However, we found that those improvements were offset by higher inflation and the higher relative price of food to other goods and services.
Aaron Lash, a consumer products analyst at Morningstar, says recent droughts are partly to blame.
In certain categories like proteins and dairy, they've been incurring double-digit inflation. You also have increasing demand for select commodities around the world, and that's likely to keep an upward pressure on costs.
Beef prices, for example, rose 10% last year and are expected to rise again this year. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's do the live numbers here. The 100-share index in London is up 0.1%. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. Japan's Nikkei index fell 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at the moment ahead of a private sector report on the U.S. job market, the ADP payroll survey this morning. The U.S. Supreme Court holds that corporations have free speech rights. That means companies are free to give a lot of money to political campaigns. What do people who work in one of the richest of industries think about that? Jason Voss is content director at the CFA Institute, which charters financial professionals. Morning, Jason.
Good morning.
I and others have argued in the past that the meta issue that underlies all issues in America is the way that money flows through politics. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court holds that the government can't restrict corporations from making campaign donations because of the First Amendment. You've been asking about what your members think about this. What did you find?
Well, we found something that we were a little bit surprised by because our members tend to be pro-business. And what we discovered was that 87% of our members think that political contributions ought to either not occur at all, or if they do occur, that there's detailed disclosure about such contributions.
So if they do support it, many want
rules about, for instance, disclosure?
They absolutely do. They want specifics. In fact, 84% of our members want line item disclosure of who the monies are given to, when they're given, and for what purposes. Not only that, but they also want disclosure of non-monetary contributions. So rides on the corporate jet, for example, should be disclosed. Use of office space and other non-sort of monetary perks also should be disclosed, according to our members.
Okay, what about shareholders? I mean, we are the owners of these corporations, we shareholders. Should we have a say in who the company supports politically?
CFA Institute members, 62% of us said yes, absolutely, we should have a say-so in how these monies are spent.
So what do you think the hope is, that this will feed into the public debate over this?
Yeah, we're hoping that that occurs. Right now, the SEC has a proposal which has been up on its website for a couple of years and has received the highest number of responses ever to a public request for comment. It's received 976,000
comments. And it's about this money and politics question.
That's correct. It's definitely a heated issue amongst the general public as well as investment professionals. We're probably hopeful that this sparks a dialogue at the SEC and a movement toward action. And so far with the 2014-2015 SEC agenda, it's not on their agenda.
Jason Voss is content director at the CFA Institute. Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
And yesterday we talked to our Chris Farrell about his book about unretirement, what he sees as a bright future for people working later in life. Well, there's news today that Michael Bloomberg is unretiring, in a sense. When he was leaving the New York mayor's office, Bloomberg promised he was going to devote himself to philanthropy. But now there's word he's returning to his role as media tycoon to run his Bloomberg data and news organization. What's the line? Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.